My reading today is called The Three Brides, or The Three Bridgets, by a 19th century poet, Nora Chiasson. I am Bridget Wisdom, Light. Yea, I am Bride. I loosen all the knots that wrong has tied. I knot all threads that should be woven in one. I am the giver of laws. All evil done is on my heart until I may unravel its web with heavy tears and bitter travail. My hair is colored like the heather honey. My brows are cloudy, but my eyes are sunny. Judgment I hold in one hand, in the other, pity. I am both a maiden and a mother, the judgment giver, but I give compassion to all burdened things that live, struggle, and pray, and so are preyed upon. Because the work girl's hollow cheeks are wan, mine also are pale. Because the red ant dies under a careless foot, my deathless eyes are dark. Because the red fox went snarling to death, the lilies have no scent that are amid my breast knots tied, to show I am the mother of all that fade and grow. One man may call me wisdom, who has heard some darkling midnight stabbed through with my word. One man will call me light, who ere he dies, grasps at my hand and looks me in the eyes. I am no Lian Shi. I will not follow the soul that seeks me, even in the hollow lands where the moon is not or any sun. No travail ended and no quest begun. I slay the man who called me law and strove to slay me, but yet one name of mine is love. If this assembly is like most assemblies of UUs, most of us came up in Christian, Jewish, or non-religious households. Some few of us were raised UU, and some may have come from other backgrounds, but many of us have at least a passing familiarity with the Jewish and Christian scriptures. And so many of us may know the biblical injunction against oppressing strangers in a strange land. So for example, from the New Revised Standard Version in Exodus, you shall not oppress an alien, for you know the heart of an alien, for you were aliens in the land of Egypt. It's all over the Hebrew Bible. Again, in Deuteronomy, you shall love the stranger, for you were strangers in Egypt. And it appears many times in admonitions that end with the deity reminding the people to behave themselves because I am the Lord your God who brought you out of slavery in the land of Egypt. You might also be familiar with the admonitions to take care of widows and orphans, particularly, right? And we read again in Exodus, you shall not abuse any widow or orphan. If you do abuse them, when they cry out to me, I will surely heed them. I could go on talking about the Abrahamic traditions, but you may have read the sermon blurb, and that's not what I'm here to talk about today. Even though many professed Christians seem to be having a hard time these days living into the admonition to welcome and not oppress the stranger. All over the world, Refugees and immigrants are clamoring for sanctuary from nations torn apart by famine, violence, and clashes over resources. We have watched as African refugees have been turned away at European borders and seen the unrest in several European countries as they try to manage the different cultures coming together quickly out of dire circumstances. And of course, some of the loudest proponents of a wall to keep the stranger, the alien, the immigrant, the refugee out of the United States are in fact Christians. But today I'm going to offer you another vision, another idea, another image of someone who speaks about hospitality and discernment, good judgment, and love. I'm going to speak with you about someone who is called the Mary of the Gales, that is to say, the saint, the patron saint of Ireland, who is considered so important that she almost rises in importance to the level of Jesus' mother, Mary. And my sermon today was inspired by the rich traditions of Imbolc. It's the Celtic fire festival, now celebrated on February 1st, 2nd, and it is the lambing feast, when lambs are starting to be born. And so it is often celebrated by the non-lactose intolerant with many dairy-based treats. It's considered the holiday of the first signs of spring and is associated with spring cleaning and weather prediction. You might remember when I said this holiday was celebrated. February 2nd. Groundhogs, anyone? In fact, Groundhog Day is a direct descendant of the Irish prognostication of weather associated with early February. Imbolc was originally celebrated as a festival of 9 days marked by when the snowdrops appeared, the little tiny flowers that poke their heads above the earth when light is returning, but it's still cold. And snowdrops were said to bloom in the wake of the passing of the goddess Briid, or Bridget. As I said, I'm going to share this Celtic goddess Briid with you. Or am I talking about Saint Bridget of Kildare, the 5th century abbess who had the status of bishop and presided over a double monastery, one half for men, one half for women, and renowned for hospitality, piety, and good judgment. The fact probably is that these women, these entities, are not separate. Their legends, her legends, bear directly for us today on the question of how to behave towards the refugee, the powerless, the oppressed, and particularly women and children. The Irish and other Gaelic people have a beautiful sense of the mythic. They time travel in their understanding of characters of history and legend. And they attach understandings from pre-Christian history to later times, and traditions of later times may be discussed as though they happened in the shadowy past. And by the way, there are nearly as many spellings of Bridget as there are of Catherine. I can hardly keep them all straight. So for today, we'll go with Briid, B-R-I-G-I-D, and I may also use the more anglicized version associated with Saint Bridget. So Breid, as Saint Bridget, is known all over Ireland and in other parts of the world as the foster mother of Jesus and the midwife of Mary. I did mention time travel, right? The historical Saint Bridget of the 5th century Abbey in Kildare was the foster mother of the 1st century Palestinian boy Yeshua ben Yosef ben Mariam and the midwife to Mariam, his mother. Sure. To this day, Saint Bridget's protection is invoked by midwives and doulas at the side of those giving birth, and to protect children and homes and marriages. Breid is honored by modern followers of the complex web known as Celtic Christianity in prayers like this one. May Breid bless the house wherein you dwell. Bless every fireside, every wall, every door. Bless every heart that beats beneath its roof, every hand that toils to bring it joy. Bless every foot that comes its portals through, and may Breid bless the house that shelters you. According to Christopher Scott Thompson, in his research on the classical Irish saga, the Ulster cycle, and the poetry derived from it in later centuries, there are three Breids to whom we ought to pay attention in these times of struggle over borders. Hospitality, discernment and judgment, and the search for a world founded on love are exemplified in these three images of Breid. I find Thompson's three Breids really compelling because in the poetry inspired by it and in the Ulster cycle itself, the Irish goddess is described as overseeing hospitality, and she's called Breid the Hostler, the keeper of the hostel, or Breid the Hospitaller. She is associated with discernment and justice, and called simply Breid of the Judgments, and Protector of the Powerless. And she's called Breid of the Cowless, like having no cows, or simply Breid of the Poor. Like Mary, the mother of Jesus, Breid has many titles and many guises depending on the situation, the needs of the people, and the location. Why do we need these three aspects? We need them because this goddess saint holds keys to our building the world we dream about, the world of beloved community. She reminds us of who we can be when we live into our best selves, and specifically of the values of hospitality, discernment or wisdom, and love. For example, Breid the Hostler is most associated with hospitality and openness to strangers. Hostlers were those who kept their homes and their lands open to visiting strangers in need of shelter at no cost. And they were admired in ancient Irish society for that virtue, for offering shelter at no cost. Breid is the paragon of this Celtic ideal. And though the keepers of hostels were usually commoners, they nonetheless were revered by their peers as people of virtue, as I said, for this habit of welcoming others with no thought of return. And hospitality, as you may or may not know, is the mark of many monasteries as well, and was considered to be a particular note of St. Bridget's Monastery in Kildare. Similarly, the Brigidine sisters, whom I really recommend you look up, they are so cool. The Brigidine sisters are a Celtic Christian order of St. Bridget. And they are not in Kildare itself, but they're in Ireland. And they maintain her sacred flame that stays lit at all times. And they are particularly associated with Bridget's Well in Kildare. I could go on and on about them, but I won't. The Brigidine sisters, check them out. Because they're in between these two worlds, right? They sort of move in these different worlds of ancient pagan or pre-Christian ideas, as well as being part of the Roman Catholic Church. Something I can identify with, as you might have heard from my bio. So Bridget's virtues extend beyond simply the hearth, the home, the welcome of a roof, and a welcome by the fire. They also have included the essential virtues of good judgment, discernment, and justice. Bridget of the Judgments was, in fact, herself a judge, best known for overturning a ruling of her father, the Judge Sean, another sort of ephemeral, mythic figure who's considered to be the avatar of tradition, capital T. He had ruled reluctantly that yes, women could own property, but that they could not leave property to their own direct female descendants. In a later suit, Bridget ruled, and the law was written and spoken, that not only could women own property in their own right, but that under some conditions, leave that property to their daughters. And beyond this famous ruling, Bridget of the Judgments was recognized as the preeminent example of discernment. Her knowledge of the law, as undergirded by the common people's wisdom, was unparalleled, and her blessing today is given upon those who hand down just decisions and those who treat others fairly. St. Bridget, as the abbess of the monastery I mentioned earlier and that was discussed in the children's story, and didn't she do a great job with the quilt getting bigger? It was perfect. That abbey and Bridget at her abbeys is said to have been deeply involved in the lives of the crofters and others who lived on the lands around. She had the status of the major superior of the double abbey and as a bishop. So sometimes, if you look at pictures of her, she's holding a shepherd's crook with a cross, which is the symbol of a bishop. And there are wonderful legends about her that she made other bishops. She consecrated male bishops, but they had to be goldsmiths. Okay. In this episcopal, which in church speak just means bishop-esque, in this episcopal role, she heard the trials and complaints of the people around the abbey and was always known for offering fair judgments and taking special care that her decisions not put undue burden upon the people who came to see her. Finally, Bridget of the Cowless, also called simply Bridget of the Poor, which is easier to say and hear, is the protector of those who have no other voice in society. She is the Bridget of those who have no property of their own. And I think that she might be said to be the inspiration of the other two Bridgets I have shared, whether they are her sisters, her mother and grandmother, as Thompson actually suggests, or simply aspects of one eternal self, it seems to me that Breed of the Judgments and Breed of the Hostler somehow emerge from Breed of the Poor, because she is moved by love for those who have the least. She is an example for all of us not to look away from the suffering of those who have less than we do. Her miracles were that she could multiply milk, butter, and cheese, she really likes milk, to feed the people who came to her in need. And she only could do those miracles because she saw the suffering of those around her and was moved to alleviate it. We must not look away from suffering. One of my dearest friends, this isn't written in here, and I thought I would write it, and then I didn't. But one of my dearest friends is the man who was charged to reunite 2,600 children with their families. 8 of those children have cases that have now been taken by the ACLU. All of the other children have been reunited with their families. All of the other children have been reunited with their families because people in the government worked without pay for 16 to 18 hours a day, 7 days a week. May Breed's blessing be on Jonathan White and everyone who worked with him. We find admonitions of not looking away from the suffering of children and families like those Jonathan helped in Christianity, Judaism, Islam, Buddhism, Sikhism, Hinduism, countless other religions. In particular, if you think of Buddhism, right? The Buddha, or the prince who would become the Buddha, was changed because he finally was able to see suffering. And here today, during what is called Imbolc Tide, the time around the holiday of Imbolc, I offer you another example. This goddess and saint, patron saint of Ireland, figure of myth, legend, and history. Because there is enough suffering for us to see. There is suffering enough here in the Pacific Northwest, where we will doubtless be called upon to deal with a growing population driven by climate change, actually. And there is growing militarization, incarceration, and violence on the southern border of the United States, where Unitarian Universalist ministers from the Beyond the Call program are right now learning about what's happening at the southern border. There is desperation in the small boats on the choppy waters of the Mediterranean, despair in the demolished cities of Eastern Africa and the climatically threatened islands of the South Pacific and of Southern South Africa. There is suffering in our own hearts. There is grief in this room. There is suffering aplenty. And furthermore, if we think of the issues that are said to be closest to Breed's heart, we can think of this. The United States has the highest infant mortality rate among all wealthy developed countries. Highest, the highest. There's no excuse. Southern Africa still has children orphaned by the thousands because of the ongoing AIDS crisis. And all around the world, thanks to outdated local and regional customs, sometimes becoming national law, women are kept from education, wealth, and independence. Breed invites us not to turn away, but to welcome those who suffer, to see them, to listen to them, to plead their case and speak on their behalf, especially where women and children are concerned. As refugees by the thousands flee violence-torn countries, what do these images of Breed call us toward? What would Saint Bridget say? How can we embody the values of hospitality, good judgment, and love? What can we do? And more important, what are we doing? What will we do? How can we welcome without expectation of return? Will we welcome the stranger? Those 2,600 children I mentioned will have generational trauma. Yeah. There is absolutely no doubt about it. What will we do when that generational trauma comes home to roost? How can we see where injustice rules and resist it? Will we resist unjust laws, unjust judicial decisions, like keeping transgender people from the calling to which they believe they are called, that they have heard, to serve their country in the way they think best? How can we speak up for those who are being silenced? Will we speak for people with significant lifelong disabilities, nearly all of whom will be sexually assaulted in their lives? Mm. Nearly all. Will we speak up for the other millions of women, men, and children who are sexually assaulted, especially by family, friends, and family members every year? Will we believe them? As we hold in our hearts our own experiences, will we believe them? These, I think, are questions the Breeds, or Breed, or St. Bridget the Pious, or Mary of the Gales. I think Breed might ask us these questions. And so, in closing, I offer this prayer for all of us. May our hearts be soft, like the woven mantle of St. Bridget's cloak, that those soft hearts might welcome those we have come to reject by habit. I pray that our minds are clear, discerning, wise, and that we not settle for the easy answer, but seek the truth in love at every turn. I pray that we not turn away from suffering, but instead that we use whatever power we have to multiply the well-being of those around us. In the names of Breed, Breed, Brigantia, and Saint Bridget, the healer, the poet, and the smith, the hostler, the judge, and the protector. In the names of hospitality, discernment, and always in the name of love, I offer these prayers. Blessed be all of your ways. Blessed be.
I invite you.